Calling all lovers of mystery, prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's Journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff, the podcast that celebrates those who live, love, and breathe rock and roll.
From the incredible groupies, girlfriends, and wives who went after what and who they wanted,
to the journalists, photographers, and other behind-the-scenes characters who play such an important part in rock and roll history.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
This episode is brought to you by Electrified Porcupine,
bringing you the best in collectibles, movies, music, wrestling, gaming, and more. Check it out at electrifiedporcupine.com.
Hey there, this is Christian Swain from the Rock and Roll Archaeology Project. Rock and Roll Archaeology? What's that you say? We are a podcast network dedicated to digging deep into the amazing music that exploded out of the second half of the 20th century. We believe the music, culture, and technology wove together, and it is an important story of history as, say, the Italian Renaissance or the Impressionists of Paris. We have 6 shows, all with a different side of this incredible time. Rock Talk with myself and host Peter Farioli. Real Rock, and that's R-E-E-L, hosted by Andy King. Vinyl Snob with the legendary Dave Whitaker. Rock and Roll Librarian with the headmistress herself, Shelley Sorensen. Deeper Digs in Rock, where I interview famous rock and roll personalities and the people who scribed the times and events. And finally, our full telling of the history of rock and roll, the Rock and Roll Archaeology Podcast, which started it all. Find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So let's get back to Between the Sheets of Rock and Roll with Shanti and Lynx. And Muses and Stuff.
You ready, Lynx?
Yeah.
Lynx is just about to put a piece of brownie in her mouth. Like, yeah, good time. Ready.
I thought you were going to read it. I thought I have time.
Okay, you eat the brownie and okay. I'll eat it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, here we go. Sammy Harris is a 20-year-old writer, social media influencer, music journalist, and yogi based in Los Angeles and Orange County, California. I hear a little doggy barking in the background. Yeah, is that your doggy?
That's my dog, Kobe.
What's his name?
Kobe.
Kobe. That's cute.
Yeah, he's a Pekingese Chihuahua.
Pekingese Chihuahua. Do you want me to just keep that in and keep going? Like, I mean,
you can keep it in if you want, yeah.
Well, let's just keep him in. All right, let's keep going here. She currently is a social media intern for legendary 70s rock groupie Pamela DeBar. And it's for her social media project, Groupie You, where she uses her platform to empower women of all backgrounds. Yeah, Pamela.
Yeah.
In her spare time, she can be found exploring LA with a soy vanilla latte in hand or front row at a concert. She's currently working on launching a podcast of her own, as well as writing her first creative nonfiction book set for release in mid-2018. Welcome, Sammy.
Yeah, hi. It's so nice to finally be talking to you. We've known about each other for a while now. It's finally we get to actually sit down and have a conversation.
I know. I heard about you guys through Pamela. Yeah, she was the one who told me about you guys. She's like, you should contact them. They're pretty cool. And I did.
Well, that's a great first question. How did you discover groupiedom and Miss P, and how did that world come into your world?
How did you come to groupie you? Yeah, how did you come to know the most legendary of the groupies? Because, I mean, everybody knows how much, like, how crazy we are about her, so it's nice to hear about the other dolls out there.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I've been going to shows since my junior year of high school. I, like, got into that world, and then I was actually, it was weird, I was on my way to San Francisco to see one of my favorite bands. I was bored and I was on my phone and I popped up across like an article like from Pamela. I think she wrote for Nylon. It was on my like Facebook feed. And that's how I found out about her. I was like reading through it and I was like, oh my gosh, like she's like super cool. I want to like read some of her books. And then I think I somehow followed Groupie You on Instagram after that because she like mentioned them in the article or something. And then they were doing a contest. If you post about like what inspires you, you can
I remember that.
Meet Pamela. So I was like, oh, like live music inspires me. Cause it was like the last day of my favorite band's like tour. So I was like, I did that as like part of the post. And I did like, oh, like as a second part of the caption, like live music inspires me. And I wasn't expecting to win, but then I did. And I was also like, oh, maybe it's like with a bunch of other girls. No, it was like just us having lunch. Yeah.
The pictures were so cute. I remember that. I remember that you got announced that you were the winner. And then, we just sort of like followed your day. So what was that like meeting Pamela?
Oh, it was so amazing. It was like so surreal, but like so amazing. Like when I saw her, like from the restaurant, I was just like, that's her. I was, and then it was funny because like my parents were there too because they drove me. And my dad is a huge Doors fan. So even he was like starstruck by Pamela because she knew Jim Morrison. And he was like totally starstruck, which was hilarious. But yeah, no, it was amazing. I loved like shopping with her and like trying on those outfits. It felt like it was like a movie, like that part. It was crazy.
Yeah, when Miss P comes to Toronto, we always end up going around to the vintage shops and she's like so good. She can find anything.
I know. I found so much like, I mean, I didn't get to like buy any of it. It was all like super expensive, but I found so much cool stuff when I was like with her. Like there was like in my Instagram pictures, like there's like that cheetah print set was super cute. I wish I could have like taken that home. Oh my God.
Yeah, she's a phenomenal buyer.
I know, like, yeah, she was, like, styling me, and everything was so cute. I was just, like, it was, like, being, like, out, like, in a different reality. It was, like, being in a movie. It was so cool, like, hanging out with her.
Yeah, and her energy, like, is just so infectious, and she's just, like, she really does. I feel like when you look at photos of her, you can see her spirit. Like, you can see that lightness there. And
yeah.
She definitely, like, you feel that when you're with her.
Yeah, I know. Like, I felt like, oh, I can do like anything. I can like go to any show and like do anything I want. Like that's how I felt like after hanging out with her. I was like, wow, life is good.
That she changes lives, man. She's changed my life, Lynx's life. Like she's so much more than just like her past. Like who she is now is so inspiring and empowering. And the thing is about her, and we're like, you know, her light comes through. She's so sweet. She's so angelic. But also she's a take no shit kind of person, which is really cool.
You know, and she like inspires me so much as like a writer, because that's what I want to do. I want to like write about like some of the concert experiences that I had. Hopefully I have a lot more that are worth writing about, but like in time, but that's kind of what I want to do. And she's like a huge inspiration in that way to me too.
So, I mean, you say that, you know, you are writing your first creative nonfiction book. Is that what we're going to find?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a name for it. I'm like so picky. I thought of a few, but like I need like the perfect name for it. But yeah, I kind of want to be like creative nonfiction because I went to an arts high school and like the two like are for creative writing, and the two forms of like writing that I love the most are poetry and creative nonfiction. So I want to do something that's like a mix between that. I don't really know, but definitely like some of my like concert anecdotes are like going to be in there for sure.
Have you taken a writing class with Miss P yet?
I haven't, but I really want to. That's like on my goals list. Like I really want to do that because she has them in LA. I really want to go.
That's where Lynx and I met, was at a writing class.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I am dying to do one of her rock tours. Like to get a tour of Laurel Canyon from Pamela is a dream of mine. And I'm hoping to make it happen sometime this year before the summer.
Oh, that would be amazing. Oh my gosh, I want to go on one of her
Maybe
tours.
We could go together.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah, that would be so much fun.
Okay, I'll let you know when I'm coming to town then. And honestly, Sammy, Los Angeles, like I'm from a small town in Northern Ontario. And so I live in Toronto now, which is like a big step up for me. But Los Angeles doesn't even seem real to me. I'm going to New York for the first time very soon. And like LA, like I've seen pictures and I've read about it. But honestly, I can't even imagine what it must be like to have grown up there and live there because it doesn't seem real to me.
I know. I live 30 minutes away. I live 20 minutes from downtown. And it's still like, it feels like when I go home, it feels like I'm going into like another world. Like when I drive down like the freeway, because like the suburbs like of LA are like, it's still so different from the city. Like you go into the city and you're like, what? Like it's so amazing. I love LA. I'm like fortunate to have grown up like so close.
Yeah. And you're in a city where like great musicians play more often in your city than they do in others.
Yeah. And that's why I want to like stay close to here. Cause like, I'm like going to be transferring soon to a 4-year university, but I want to stay somewhere around here, not even like Northern California, because like, this is where the music scene is at, like LA, like I feel like everything like happens here.
Hmm. Yeah. If you were curious about the music scene, you're younger than us, different generation. You're like the new generation of groupie. And we were curious, like, what's your experience like when you go out?
I like to go out and see all like the smaller bands. Like some people that I'm friends with will be like, oh yeah, I go to concerts at like the Forum or some of the bigger venues. Like I like to go to like the really small venues. I like to like, I don't know, like kind of like make friends with the opening acts. I'm always in like the front row, I think, because sometimes we try to get there early. Yeah, we always get barricaded. I'm trying to think of like what else. I don't know. I just love like, I love the smaller shows. Like, because I love like just, I don't know, just like the intimate, like just like feel of the shows. Like, I don't know.
That's easier to meet the musicians.
Yeah, I always stay to meet the musicians.
Meet them while they're up and coming. It's easier to get them, and then to maintain the relationship for when they do make it big.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've done. One of my like favorite bands, Honey. I started seeing them back in like 2015, and now like they're still like touring and like they're releasing like a new EP. But like I like started like talking to them after shows when they were like really small, and now they like I'll go to like the shows and they're like a little bigger and they'll like know who I am and stuff. And like musicians like that too, like if you go to the shows enough, they like recognize you and they're like, hey, like and they like start to remember things about you. It's like, it's really cool. Like the whole scene.
Groupie tips.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, just meet the artists when they're smaller and they're like they're up and coming. That's what I've been doing. Like I've been paying so much attention to like opening acts, because like some of my favorite bands I've discovered have been like through them opening for other bands. So I'm always like trying to like stay for the opening acts and all of that.
I think that's both how like Shanti and I sort of got into that scene too. It's important, like you're missing out on so much good music if you're only trying to follow like whoever's like the biggest selling band at that time.
I know. Yeah. Like most of my bands that I've like started like becoming fans of, I started years ago. Like, I don't know. Like I find out about most of my bands, like through that scene, like they'll become friends with like another band, or they're like have a band open for them. And like, they all like branch off of each other. But like, I don't know. It's super cool.
Yeah. It's really special. Like groupiedom when like you've been there from the beginning supporting a band. And like people forget like when Miss P was supporting the bands that we know that she, you know, hung around, they were big, but it's like over the past 40 years that they've become like the mega big stars, right? Like they were the new artists coming to town.
And I know, you know, Michelle Overman is very much the I knew him when and I knew him when. And it's but that's the thing with having the ear and just having those instincts when you go to a show and the band is opening and you're like, I know something great's going to happen. And you can think that and maybe it doesn't happen because there's so many bands out there. But a lot of the times I feel like my instincts have definitely been right on with that. So that's a great groupie hot tip for everyone.
Yeah, because she was like, when we were talking, she was talking about how she saw like David Bowie and stuff at like the Roxy. Because I was telling her about how I go to shows at like venues like the Roxy and like the Troubadour and like smaller venues like that. And she was telling me some of the bands she'd seen there. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. Like the Doors and like all stuff. I was like, okay, wow. Yeah.
So crazy. Where did you grow up?
I grew up, I lived in the same like area all my life, like Brea, California. It's Fullerton. It's like a college town. There's like Cal State Fullerton out here. I'm trying to think, like, it's by Anaheim, 15 minutes from Disneyland is where I grew up.
Cool.
So pretty, like, close to, like, Orange County, but, like, not really, like, in the, like, heart of Orange County. So I grew up, like, pretty close to L.A. I was always going out there for something or other growing up. Like, I pretty much grew up, like, L.A. and then, like, Disneyland.
I can't even imagine.
It's like the childhood dream when you know, like, L.A. and Disneyland.
Yeah, my parents worked at Disney when I was growing up, so I got to like get in for free. So it was, I never realized how lucky I was as a kid. Yeah, everything was so nearby.
So I do get a little bit of a glimpse of your life because your social media presence is really fun. It's really sweet. You're always on the go. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if this is like maybe like a US thing or like an LA thing, but tell me about being a social media like intern and like a social media influencer, because I've heard that term, like especially the influencer bit quite a bit, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. So
yeah, I started on Instagram. I got like an iPhone when I was in like the eighth grade and I downloaded this app called Instagram where I post like dumb selfies with my friends or like, oh, look at like my food and stuff. And like literally in middle school, I was a fan of like a bunch of like Disney Channel bands when I was like a kid, like Big Time Rush and all of those. So like I like started a fan account for those. And then I like on Instagram, I started to get followers and I was like, oh, okay. And then like I switched over, I did Tumblr when it was a big thing. So I switched over and did like my Tumblr selfies and stuff. And then I started to get like a lot of followers, and people in my high school would be like, oh, like we have like 800 followers and you have like 4,000. And I'd be like, okay, I'm doing something here. I don't know. So then I started to make it like kind of a business thing where I was like, oh, I'm going to be like an influencer, I guess. Like I can like promote all these brands. I can like make a social media presence, like doing what I love. And it was when I got into shows, I started doing that. Cause the more shows I went to, like people started following me from the shows and were like, oh my God, you go to so many concerts. And like, you're like, I've shopped at thrift stores since I was a kid. So I always like posted like my thrifted outfits. Like, and everyone's like, oh, you dress unique. I'm like, I have something here where I can like turn my social media presence into like something, I can get something going for me. So, and then I got signed by an agent like earlier in what was summer 2017 was when I actually reached out to my agent because I saw my friend was signed with her and she was like, oh yeah, I can like sign you. Like I actually reached out to her myself and she signed me, which was pretty awesome. I wasn't expecting that, but
That's so interesting.
And I've been doing like paid, a few paid promotions. Like I don't get a whole lot of like ones that pay like so much, but then I get like ones where I get like free items. Like I'm sponsored by a brand called London Rag and they will send me shoes and like purses and stuff. And they're all super cute. So I like just like wear them to concerts, wear them in my posts. Like in 2011, I would have never thought like, oh, this is like, I'm getting this Instagram app that I'm like posting like my like selfies on in eighth grade. Like
I don't think anyone in 2011 would think that like this is where we've come in terms of the internet and branding and making yourself into a business by being who you are and by having your personal style.
Yeah, I love my Instagram. I love like expressing myself through my Instagram. It's like harder, I guess, when you're like an influencer because people want you to post like every day, or people be like, you need to post like this or this promo or tag this person. But like, honestly, like I love like just getting to like at the end of the day, like post about my shows, post my outfits. I have to do it in a certain way to where like I'm like get like reaching the right people and gaining followers and trying to like keep up my image. But like at the same time, I'm like, I love that it's like become like an outlet for me over like the past like almost like 7 years that I've been on there. Yeah. Which is crazy. I've been there so long.
It's a lot of hard work, but when you love what you're doing, it's just a lot of fun at the same
time. Yeah.
So how did you go from winning the contest with Miss P to joining her with Groupie U?
And maybe for listeners who don't know what Groupie U is, you could elaborate on that as well.
Well, Groupie U, there's a clothing line, but it's also like a social media like platform. We do like Instagram, Facebook. We're like working on our Twitter and YouTube. It's basically like empowerment for women, as well as like we talk about like live music, we talk about like groupie history, we talk about Miss P, obviously, but it is mostly like women's empowerment, self-love, all that good stuff. And we have a little clothing line too. We sell some of Pamela's vintage items on the website too, as well as like
the clothing is so amazing.
Yeah, it's so cute. I want all of it. It's adorable.
You know the Radiant Zappa summer dress? There's a picture of her by the pool with like one of the Zappa children's, and she's wearing this beautiful white dress and it's see-through.
Oh, yeah.
They made a recreation of that when it was Groupie Couture, and I bought that dress, so I have that dress. Go into our like Muses and Stuff promo photos, the white dress that I'm wearing is actually Pamela's, so it's from that.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. I want to own something of Pamela's. That's like a goal, like a vintage clothing item.
Yeah, it's not the actual dress, but it's like inspired by, and it's seriously my favorite dress. If I ever get married, I will get married in that dress.
She had the greatest style.
Yeah. She has like the most iconic style, like in my opinion. Like I look at her outfits and I'm like, wow. Like
it's interesting too, because it's like the GTOs were like social influencers. It just, there wasn't like social media at that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Rolling Stone and everything, like, they were, like, putting out a new form of fashion, a new form of women, you know, liberated. And it's cool that, like, you know, you're sort of continuing that on just in with, like, new technology.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of trying to do, because I feel like I have, like, a pretty unique like style through like my thrifting and stuff that no one's really like ever like seen on like that platform. Like I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I bring something like different to the table, I guess. So I always try to showcase that on my account, like my style and like how I like go to shows and all that stuff. So yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Totally.
How much is so if you go to a lesser, like not a huge venue like you were saying, but just like a regular, like we were talking about around in our neighborhood, there's a place called the Dakota, and in Toronto there's a really popular place called the Horseshoe, and we have the Cameron House, which are pretty like Canadian legendary music venues. How much is a typical cover? How much would you pay in cover for a typical show?
Like at like a bigger venue or at like a regular, no, like
just a regular, like still kind of like a popular, but like, is it usually a $5 cover, $10, are you paying $30? What is, I'm just curious because I have no idea.
Well, the venue that we usually go to is like the Observatory. And like, if you go to the bigger, they have a big room called like the Observatory, and they have a smaller room called the Constellation Room. This is like 20 minutes from me, and the Observatory, it's like 15-20 plus feet service fees, so it's usually like 30 something, but then like 20 something if it's like, it depends on like the size of the artist. And then for the Constellation Room, it's usually like 15 because it's like a little small room.
Okay, but so same here.
Yeah, the Observatory is like, it's a really cool place because it's like in Orange County where I grew up, and like it's like one of the places where I got introduced to like live music and general admission shows. And I think it's so cool that like it's like a staple, like where like younger kids and stuff can go to like explore like the world of like general admission shows. Like I love that place, honestly, especially because it's like in the suburbs, so it's like it gives people like access to that. You don't have to go like all the way to LA to do that.
You mentioned that you're always at the front of the stage, and that's something like we always, you know, talk about and try to, you know, encourage women, like go to the front, like dance, have fun. Is that like where you always gravitated toward, or
usually? Yeah, I I'm trying to think, like at first at shows, I would be like, you know, like in the middle, like towards the pit. But then,
how tall are you though? You're not.
I love being at Barricade, like at the very front. Yeah. I feel like no one's like really like pushing at you. You're not like in the middle of like all those people. But at the same time, like you're right there, like you're like experiencing it. Like after a while, it just became a thing where me and my friends were like, okay, we gotta like get front row, because like I usually at every single show that I go to, and it's usually for like the same few bands too, I'll be like in the front row, like on the very left, like that's where I stand.
That's a great spot.
After a while, at like the shows, like for the bands that I like always saw, everyone knew that I was like I was at the front at the very left, like that was like my spot.
I'm definitely front or bust.
Yeah.
You know, me too. Yeah.
Especially because I'm only 5'1".
Oh my gosh.
And quite honestly, I like the attention that I get from the musicians when I'm at the front of the stage.
Especially when I'm like seeing a band that knows me, they'll be like, oh hi, like when they're setting up their equipment, I'm like, hey, how's it going? Like that. Like
exactly. Interacting with a band when they're on stage is super fun. Like when they, like I remember when I saw, I don't know if you know who Sam Roberts is and Sam Roberts Band, but he's like huge in Canada. And when I went up to the front of the stage, he ended up like sticking around that like where I was standing. And it was almost like we were dancing. Well, I think we were it was like dancing together. And that was such a thrill for me. But actually there was a girl beside me who was not very happy that I had come up to the front of the stage probably less than halfway through the concert, but she was really upset with me that I had come and stood in the front of the stage because she felt like an ownership of that spot. And I didn't push her over, like I just asked a guy if he wouldn't mind taking up so much space, and so he was taking up the space of two people and he made room for me, but this seemed to really aggravate this person. And so have you ever witnessed any like hostility or any negative things by either going up to the front of the stage or people pushing or anything?
Oh my gosh, yes, there are always people who are gonna be like jealous if you're always at the front. Like I think one time, like I tweeted something because the band that I like love, honey, the band that I support, they like played the Terragram like almost a year ago, and I like tweeted something. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to like be there at Barricade supporting you guys. And I got some guy tweeted me like, because there's no like Barricade, it's just like this, you're touching the stage, but like we say Barricade because it's easier than saying like, oh, the front. And someone tweeted me was like, there's no Barricade, like sorry. And I'm like, I know that. And I was like, it's fine. Like, and then I've had times before where people have. If I'm in the front row, like one girl was like, oh, like that, like I heard a girl like that girl always gets the front row. And I'm like, well, usually because I wait like fair and square, like I wait my turn, I wait in line, or like I just like try to get there like when the doors open. I don't usually like push past anybody to get the front row. So I've had that before where people like will get jealous if you're always in the front. But like if you wait like the whole time, then you're going to be in the front. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, there seems to be like some kind of unwritten rules and also kind of like etiquette. And that particular time that I was saying, it was almost like when I went up to the front, it was like a path had cleared and I didn't have to push or shove or anything. And I just happened to find myself there and the guy moved over. And I do understand how like you get there early, you claim your spot. And I think that was kind of the issue, was that like she was like, I've been here the whole time. And it's like, well, I've also been at this concert the whole time. And I also paid the same amount of money that you did. And I just happened to get up here in this timing. So yeah, sometimes it can feel like people are trying to follow these kinds of rules or this etiquette. And I believe in being polite. And I believe, but ultimately it's a rock show and kind of like there are really no rules.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. It's like, I don't know. Like it's sometimes you dance and you end up in the front because you're just,
people make way for you.
Physically, you're not like physically being like hostile or pushing your way to the front. So, because I'll go to shows like groups of girls who will like always be in the front, and they have like a strategy. Like they'll like wait all this time. I've gone to shows where I've been with girls who like to camp overnight and all this stuff. Like when I went to San Francisco the last like time, like my friends wanted to camp overnight, but it was like a really unsafe area, so we just went in the morning. But like they wanted to like camp out there to be like, this is we're gonna be in the front, like kind of that thing.
I was actually curious. Does the word groupie ever get like thrown around? And if so, it like what is the feeling behind it? Like, do you get a sense of what that means in this generation?
Well, I feel like now, like in the concert community, it's becoming more of a positive, like it has more positive connotation, like with things like Groupie You and Pamela and everything like that. But I do feel like people outside of the scene will just be like, oh, she's like a groupie. Or they'll be like, oh, like all she does is like follow bands. Like I feel like people who aren't in the scene see it as negative. And then there's like, I see it on Twitter where there's like levels of like people will be like, you're not a real groupie unless you've done this. Or like, you're not like a real groupie unless, like, I feel like just being a groupie is just like following the band, like supporting them and just listening to the music if we're like in the positive sense. But there are people on Twitter who will be like, oh, like you're not a real groupie unless like you're like dating the musician. I'm like, well, no, like it's not like there's different, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I
feel like it's, we always like talk about there's like different elements to or different levels of groupiedom, and it's interesting that some people have like these specific rules for it.
I know, I'm like, no, it's not really like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's good though, like that, you know, those who are in the scene, it is becoming a positive. Though we still have some work to do, but at least there's like a lot of us who are, you know, coming forward and being outspoken about it and like saying this is positive, this is a beautiful community. And
it is, yeah.
Have you ever dated a musician, or do you have a tendency to date musicians?
I've never like personally like dated a musician, but like all of the guys I've like talked to have pretty much been musicians, and I'm like attracted pretty much basically to like musicians. Like I don't think there's any guy I've ever been attracted to who like hasn't been a musician. Like now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, no, it's always band guys.
Yeah, I find there was actually a point in my life where I was like, I need to make a conscious effort to like talk to non-musicians.
I know, yeah, because I feel like I don't, like, cause I only really, like, concerts are my place when I meet guys. Like, there's no really cute guys at my school or, like, work or anything. So, like, when I'm, like, at concerts, it's pretty much where I, like, look for guys. And I don't, like, they're pretty much all either in the band or they're, like, in the crowd and they have a band of their own. So it's, like...
Yeah, that's the thing. I would meet these guys and I'd be like, finally, I met someone who's not a musician. And then, like... I would find out, like, you know, 5 dates later, like, oh, by the way, like, I, you know, play guitar. I write my own song. I'm like, oh, no.
And you'd be like, oh, no, there is, yeah. It's a curse. Like, every guy I like has some, like element of, like, being a musician. And I'm just like, okay.
I've dated exclusively musicians and guys in bands. And except for maybe... two, but then the two that like weren't musicians or in bands were artists in one form of another, so like painters or visual artists or like photographers. And
that's who I try, like, it's like that's who I'm attracted to, is like artists too. Yeah. I went to an arts high school, so it was like I was always around like art, like artsy guys, I guess, like, and then like at, like going to shows too, that's just like who I'm surrounded by, so I guess it's like, oh, like kind of like that.
My boyfriend is an artist and he's like into film and like using like beautiful cameras. And it's funny because Lynx and I were having this conversation where like not too long ago I told him that he needed to start like using me as a muse. And so we went away for a weekend and he brought a film camera that's like a 1950s film camera. And he showed me how to use it. And then he was just like taking film of me. And I was just like, oh, he listened. And it's honestly, oh, like, I do, like, I love my musicians and all of my best friends pretty much are musicians and it's so beautiful, but it's actually kind of a nice break to be
a different type of art kind of coming out. And
I feel that. I feel like I'd pretty much only, I would only be able to date a guy who was like super like into like artsy or into art, like, I like, because those are like my interests, I feel like, or like are in that like area of, yeah,
we feel ya.
So speaking of like, you know, art, interest, creating things, we mentioned that you are working on launching a podcast of your own. What do you want to talk about? Who do you want to be talking to? What's the subject matter? Will you have a co-host? Tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I am trying to think. I have a name that I kind of like that I want to try out, but I'm not sure exactly like what I really want to like talk about, because I have so many different interests. I feel like I could do concerts, but I could also do like spirituality. Cause that's one of my other like huge interests is like law of attraction, manifestation, all that stuff. And I kind of want to like make, cause like I've listened to so many podcasts on that, like kind of thing. So I was thinking maybe I could make one that was like not super like new agey, maybe one that was like kind of like related to like people our age and stuff, like introduce these concepts in a way that's like kind of like relatable. Or I could do one talking about concerts, or like I don't know. I'm trying to like figure it out because I've like started filming vlogs for YouTube. I haven't really like uploaded them yet, but I started doing YouTube and stuff, and I feel like that one's like I've got pretty broad focus I can have on like those kind of channels, like just about like my life. But I feel like for a podcast I should like narrow it down. So it's probably down to like one of those two things.
Well, when this one started, I mean, there's a reason Shanti called it Muses and Stuff. And thankfully she added that and stuff onto it because like for us, it's definitely started as one thing and it just keeps growing and we keep
evolving.
Yeah. We keep adding different elements and discovering new things. And you don't have to limit yourself. You know, obviously it's good to have like a center of, you know, idea of what you want to put out there. But one of the best things about doing this podcast so far has been seeing, you know, where we're going to grow from here.
True. Yeah. That's the thing. Cause I feel like if I ramble or talk too much about like too many different things, then I might not get people's attention as much, but like, I don't know. I could always like interview different people. Like I definitely want to do interviews when I do a podcast. I'm trying to figure out who I would interview, but
so definitely you have to follow your passion and what interests you instead of kind of thinking like, what are other people gonna want? Obviously, because you are the social media influencer and people just adore you because of your style and, you know, the things that you do. It could be, you know, like kind of a Sammy's World kind of thing where you incorporate all sides of yourself. But again, you'll find that kind of anchor, something that you're gonna always come home to. But I think, like you said, you know, with your manifestation and your law of attraction, I think, you know, meditating on it and having some conversations with people, and we're certainly happy to help guide you in any way as well. You'll find, I think, where your voice is meant to go, and it's, you know,
yeah,
where will you go?
Yeah,
what will you do?
And you're in LA, so my goodness, oh, yeah. You have so many good opportunities for interviews there.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've been trying to do that, especially with like the music magazine I work for too. I've been trying to like reach out to bands, email them, like, or talk to them, like talk to like the opening acts, like after shows, and be like, hey, would you be interested in like doing an interview or like doing a feature on like my blog or anything like that? Like,
how do
like,
they usually respond to that? A lot of yeah, sure, or a lot of no, not tonight, or a mix of both. And then how do you feel when you get the different kind of reactions?
Like usually, like I do email. Like usually when I talk to them in person, they're like, oh yeah, I'll exchange contact information or something. Cause we never do it like right there. But or like they'll be like, oh yeah, I'll like, get back to you. Like I've never really gotten like a no, but like what should I call it? Like a lot of bands like will respond to you right away, and then some bands never respond. Like I've had a few bands, like I think that's because they're like a little bigger maybe, but you don't really email the band, you email their management team. But I've had some management teams that have like never responded. I've been like, oh okay. But most of them have. So most of them have been interested in getting their name out there and getting publicity. So it's been a pretty positive experience.
Yeah, that's another good like groupie tip, especially if you're discovering new bands that are just, you know, coming out and maybe on their first or second tour and new to your city and everything. It's really use social media. It's really a good tool.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many shows I got into like for free or met the bands backstage because like I MySpaced them. That was like way back in the day. But
yeah
I think people would be surprised. It's like, of course, if you're going for some big name, they're probably not on their social media like looking for fun people, but
yeah. But yeah, it is like you can give them like exposure, especially because I do like social media like influencing, so I can always like email like the bands and be like, I can give you guys like shout outs on my page. I can like go to your shows. I can like get your name out there in like the local music scene.
Yeah. We were just sort of talking about that too, and how like it's all a network, and
yeah,
we all sort of it support each other in a way.
Yeah, I've met so many people at the shows, or I've met people because I've been to shows that it's really expanded my social media, going to shows. It's crazy how it all works.
So you're so young, you're only 20, and I feel like when I was your age, I was just I was going to shows and I was hanging out with bands and I was going on tour, but I was in such a little bubble, you know, I didn't think too much about an online presence and stuff like that. It's almost you know, you have this, I had never even thought about power of manifestation, 10 years ago, you know, and you're so young and you have these tips or these, I guess this knowledge. So where do you see yourself in the next couple of years? What are some things that you're dreaming about doing?
Put it out in the universe.
Yeah, if you're comfortable at sharing with lots of people, your power of manifestation, what you would like to come true for yourself, we'd be really curious. And where you see all of this stuff kind of going.
Well, one of my big dreams that I have right now is, because I'm 15 years away from transferring out of junior college, I want to go to UCLA. I want to probably get a master's in communications journalism with a minor in creative writing and music industry. I'm hoping to get at least if I can get to in a few years, 100K, 200K on Instagram, which is way out there, but that would be super cool. I want to have a few books published. One of my big goals is I want to go on tour with a band and kind of document it, write about it and do maybe film stuff, because I do YouTube, so I'm pretty good with editing and filming. I could do a little documentary type thing. I don't know. I want to be graduated from college. I want to hopefully be living full time in LA, hopefully have a music journalism job that I love, and still be creating social media content, and just still going to shows, hopefully be still covering shows and still have really good relationships in the music industry, and just kind of see where all of that takes me.
That's fantastic. I think you can accomplish a lot of that, if not everything.
Thank you.
So if a band came knocking on your door and
I know where you're going with this, and I love this question. Go for it, Lynx.
Well, I was curious, which band would you hope it would be that would be hey, want to come on tour with us?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. But honestly, they're I guess not that big, but they're bigger. One of my favorite bands, the 1975. If they did, I'd be oh my gosh. Or maybe some of the smaller bands that I follow, I guess. I really like Bad Sons, Neighborhood, Honey, Wallows, Slow Hollows. Those are some of my favorite bands. If any of those guys ask me, I'd be yeah. Or honestly, I'm studying since I've been becoming friends with even smaller bands. So even who are local to they're believe it or not, Fullerton, the area that I'm from, they have a pretty good music scene. And Orange County does too. So if any of those super local bands ever needed someone to go on a small tour with them and document it, help them out, I would totally do it. I've always had in the back of my mind, I could be a tour manager too, because I just mainly, mostly because I love traveling. So I'd love to get to, and I love traveling through live music, going to all these places for shows. So if I could travel through live music, that would be literally a dream.
When I used to tour with friends' bands and things like that, I would offer to do the merch, you know, whenever they needed, you know, an extra hand and things like that. But mostly I just, you know, got to have fun. But if you have bands that you're thinking of that you would like to kind of do that, you should mention to them, if you need a merch girl.
Yeah, I've never been done merch, but I would totally be down for that.
It's a great starting point, and they need someone there when they're on stage, so that's a good place. And then for the rest of it, you're just there, you know, documenting things. You can do both.
Yeah, I would be so down to do that, because I feel like it's an interesting concept because I've always had it in the back of my mind where like I would like go on tour with the band and like write a bunch about it and then like maybe make like a documentary or like a mini film just like kind of like showcasing like the behind the scenes moments and stuff. Like I've always thought, I don't know if I got that idea from Almost Famous or if it came out of my own head, but like a little bit of both. Like yes. Especially in the social media age, like it would be so cool to do it like in this like time period just to kind of like document it.
Definitely. No, I think, and we definitely have like similar things where we're like, you know what, we should start getting this stuff like on video as well. But it's been really nice documenting a lot of the stuff that we've been going to and the things that we've been doing. And it's really nice to meet people because that's kind of like what Pamela DeBar and Cynthia Plastercaster were doing, right? Cynthia was in Chicago doing her own thing. Pamela was in LA doing her own thing, but they were kind of similar. And then once they came together, they formed this amazing friendship and they did a lot of great stuff together. So I think, you know, we'll combine our forces and we'll combine our strengths and we'll help each other out with our weaknesses, and I think we'll just like make a big powerhouse and make all of our dreams come true.
Yeah, that's what I love about like networking with like other people who are like in the music scene, even who like don't live like in LA, if they live in like other areas. It's like you're all kind of like doing this like your own thing, but it's kind of, if you have like the same goals like in mind, you're part of like the same scene. It's like really cool and all that like comes together and you like meet friends like through like the scene and stuff. It's super cool.
So final question for you. If Lynx and I come to LA this year, will you take us out to shows? Will you take us out vintage shopping? Do you want to make some videos? And do you want to do some podcasting?
Oh, I would be so down. That would be so much fun.
Okay, fantastic. Well, then we have lots to look forward to.
Yeah, we do. That would be so cool. Oh my gosh.
Then we can do another update with you, see where you're at in a few months.
Yeah, I want to know the answer to that too. So hopefully, yeah, thanks.
Okay, Sammy, is there anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners and then just let them know where they can go to find you so that they can add to your social media, be your social media influencees?
So my Instagram is at Sammy Catherine. It's S-A-M-I and then Catherine with a K and two E's. It's not the easiest to like spell out, but like that's my username. My Twitter is actually Penny Lane IRL. Which is like a
cute
nickname I made up for myself like a few years back. I don't even remember how I came up with it, but it just kind of like it flowed naturally. So I was like, okay. And then I write for Pure Nowhere magazine, which is also on Instagram. You can always find my posts at the GroupieU like Instagram and Facebook page. And yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me online. I'm trying. Oh, and my YouTube is just Sammy Harris. I have a few videos up there. If you search Sammy Harris,
That'll be so much fun. And then we'll put all of this stuff up in our show notes, and we'll post it all as well. And then that's fantastic. Okay, so thanks so much, Sammy. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. I've so much fun talking with you guys about everything. It's been really great.
Okay,
it's gonna be so much fun hanging out with you.
I know, I'm so excited. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, that's it. This has been Sammy Harris, and we've been Shanti and Lynx with Muses and Stuff. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. All right, Sammy, we're still here, but we'll edit it for this last bit out. But that was super fun. I know that we were going back and forth so long with getting this going because we've all been so busy. But
I have a lot, especially with work and school, because like I actually I have a job and I go to school, so it's been it's been so.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L. T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.